I thank everyone for being here with us tonight. Appreciate your presence and look forward to our study tonight. Hopefully the things I've prepared will be understood and will be of some benefit to us. I guess when I get done, and be pretty apparent what I'm going to speak about here in just a few minutes, but based on Chuck's lesson this morning, y'all might think we're doing infomercials of some sorts. He had this morning a root supplement that you could put on your plants. Chuck's not here tonight. I assume none of y'all bought any. But it was a very excellent lesson. Of course, my oldest daughter, always looking out for me, very sincerely leaned over to me when Chuck held that bottle up and asked if I thought that might work on hair. So I'm sure she meant that in the best of ways. In 1995, a man named Greg Glassman opened a fitness gym in Santa Cruz, California. And soon after that, he was hired to train the Santa Cruz Police Department. And prior to this, most of his training had been private, one-on-one sessions with individual clients. But as his business grew, he was seeing success and very quickly kind of got overbooked with clients. So to address this issue, he decided to reduce his price a little bit and start training more than one person at a time, and he found out that he actually made more money in doing this, and he also found out that the clients that he was training kind of liked that group activity, and he also found out that he could still offer enough individual attention to each one of these clients to ensure safety and effective training. And this was the humble beginnings of what is now nationally and internationally known as CrossFit. Some of you here have participated in that. Some of you still do. And, of course, it was formally established as a company in the year 2000. And kind of the goal, if you look at some of the information you can read about CrossFit in general, their goal is just overall physical preparedness, not specializing in any one area. You know, what came to mind, of course, it was due to eating spinach. We all know that. But, you know, you remember what Popeye looked like. You know, he was a bony character other than his forearms. They were just huge. And so he evidently specialized just in that kind of work. But, again, no specialization in any one area, but kind of a jack of all trades and a master of none approach. Crossing over into all areas of healthy activity. And they focus on 10 overall physical qualities. And they actually borrowed this list from one of their equipment suppliers. But they focus on cardiovascular, respiratory endurance, stamina, strength, flexibility, power, speed, coordination, agility, balance, and accuracy. And these skills are built upon in relatively short, high-intensity workouts. And those of you that do some of this, you know those are called WADs, workout of the day. And they involve, from time to time, gymnastics, weightlifting, running for distance, running for speed. And in addition, there's an emphasis placed on repeatable and measurable results. Specific weights, specific distances, specific movements over a specific period of time. And this allows for a clear measurement of performance. And again, this allows for an athlete to be in overall good condition. We might say well-rounded, but not in the sense that many of us are well-rounded. So what does this have to do with some sort of Bible study? I hope I can make kind of a comparison for us tonight. I'd like to try to play off the name CrossFit and draw some comparisons to our spiritual walk. I'd like to start off by asking a couple of questions. First, physically speaking, would the well-rounded athlete that fit the description of an individual participating in the activities described in that article that we just reviewed, would that describe you? Would that describe me? I would imagine that this probably describes less than 1% of our group here in this assembly tonight. So if I ask you if you were CrossFit, your honest answer would probably be no. And to a degree, that's okay. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8 tells us that bodily training is of some value. But godliness is of value in every way, as it holds the promise for the present life and also for the life to come. Now, as much as is possible for us, we're not to let our physical health deteriorate, because that can hinder all our other pursuits, including those things we might desire to do in the kingdom. However, we should strive for godliness, which is valuable in every way, and this allows us to be spiritually well-rounded. So based on that statement, what if I ask you if you were cross-fit? Are you fit for the cross of Christ? Luke chapter 9, verse 62, Jesus said, speaking of those there, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. They're of no use to him. And it's interesting, that little three-letter word fit, if you look at the original Greek word that little word comes from, it means well-placed. And again, that idea of being well-rounded kind of ties in with that. Matthew chapter 10, verse 38, and whoever does not take up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. In chapter 16, verse 24 of Matthew, Jesus told his disciples, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. We must be willing to give up our self-centered wants and desires and to focus our attention and our affections on him. In the parallel reading of that same passage in Luke chapter 9, verse 23, Luke adds that we're to pick up that cross on a daily basis. So it's a daily activity. So as we look at ourselves physically, why might we decide that we need to join a gym or some sort of CrossFit type program? Maybe the first thing that comes to mind is you don't like what you see in the mirror. Or maybe on a more serious note, there's probably a little vanity in not liking what you see in the mirror. But maybe on a more serious note, maybe your doctor has told you that if you don't make some changes, that your quality of life is going to be compromised. Or he might even tell you that if you don't make some very necessary changes, that your condition may very well kill you. And there are two extremes we can be in physically speaking, and neither of them are healthy and should be a cause for concern. We may be very frail. We may be, as we would say, undernourished, or putting it nicely, to the other extreme, as most of us probably are health-wise, many of us are overnourished. What about us spiritually? Very familiar passage, Romans chapter 3, verse 23, describes the condition that encompasses all men. We're told there that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And much as the doctor would speak to us, Luke chapter 13, verse 3, we're told there that unless we repent, we'll all likewise perish. And speaking to the Pharisees, John chapter 8, verse 24, Jesus speaking there says, I told you that you would die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. Later in that chapter, there were some of the Jews that had believed. And in verses 31 and 32, Jesus said to the Jews who had believed on his word, he says, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Romans chapter 6, that entire chapter should be kind of an anchor chapter for us. That is a great chapter of encouragement, great chapter of instruction. Not going to read everything, but we'll just kind of skim through some of the verses. I would encourage you to read the entirety of Romans chapter 6. Verse 3, do you not know that all of us that have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. Verse 10, for the death he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions. Do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. Jumping down to verse 16. Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves to the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness? But thanks be to God that you who were once slaves of sin have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed. That's the gospel, the good news, and have been set free from sin and have become slaves of righteousness. And then dropping down to verse 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Very encouraging chapter. A lot of anchor there for our souls. Very clear instructions. But then we hit chapter 7. And beginning in about verse 7, you know, this gets a little, this is almost like the old who's on first type deal, the way this bounces back and forth. But it describes a struggle that goes on within each of us constantly on a daily basis. Beginning in verse 7 of chapter 7. What shall we say? That the law is sin? By no means. Yet if it had not been for the law, I would not have known sin. For I would not have known what it is to covet if the law had not said, you shall not covet. But sin, seizing an opportunity through the commandment, produced in me all kinds of covetousness. For apart from the law, sin lies dead. I was once alive apart from the law, but when the commandment came, sin came alive, and I died. The very commandment that promised life proved to be death to me. For sin, seizing an opportunity through the commandment, deceived me, and through it killed me. So the law is holy, and the commandment is holy, and righteous, and good. Did that which is good then bring death to me? By no means. It was sin, producing death in me through what is good, in order that sin might be shown to be sin, and through the commandment might become sinful beyond measure. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am of the flesh, sold under sin. For I do not understand my own actions. For I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Now if I do what I do not want, I agree with the law, that's good. So now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For I have the desire to carry out, for I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. So I find it to be a law that when I want to do right, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my inner being, but I see in my members another law waging war against the law of my mind and making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then I myself serve the law of God with my mind, but with my flesh I serve the law of sin. So again, there's a constant battle raging within each of us on a daily basis to do or not to do. And there's a constant battle for our loyalty. We're told in 1 Peter chapter 5 how Satan is moving about as a roaring lion. He's looking at us and he's trying to capture us. So in the physical world, how would I become CrossFit? You know, others can speak to you about your physical health, encourage you to do something about it, but nothing lasting is going to happen until you personally come to the realization that you're not fit. And this is going to require you to make some very hard decisions to prevent your health from failing in one of those areas that we talked about that this type of program can address. And to some of us, it may be to the point that we're alive now, but without a change, we're most likely going to die prematurely. Physically speaking, this may be the hardest thing that you'll ever do, because it's not a one-time fix. It's a continuous daily lifestyle change. And for many of us, this is so hard to maintain. And so often we recognize and we see our problem, but we lack the will to do anything about it. Spiritually speaking, how do I become cross fit or fit for the cross? Once again, others can speak to you about your spiritual health. They can encourage you to do something about it. But again, nothing lasting is going to happen until you personally realize and you personally acknowledge the fact that you're not fit for the cross. And that there is but one thing you can do about it. And that one thing is to submit yourself to Jesus Christ and put yourself totally in His hands to care for you and to direct your steps. And spiritually speaking, this may be the hardest thing you've ever done. Turning your life and control over to Him. Yet I will contend it will be the most rewarding thing that you'll do in the balance of your life here on earth and in the life to come. But it too is a continuous daily lifestyle change. And however, you'll find though, the more control you give to Jesus, the easier things will be. Not that we'll not face difficulties, but our focus won't be on the things of this life. The things that trouble us here are not lasting. And we know these things will come to an end in an eternal reward for the faithful. And I wonder sometimes why it is so hard for us to see and recognize our need for God and the blood of His Son, why that is so hard to fathom. So many people feel that they are so self-sufficient, especially in this country where Satan has taken a blessing and turned it into a curse. We're blessed with riches far beyond our needs. And we get lured into a false sense of independence and we get deceived. We get caught up in what we think we've done. Yet, left to ourselves, we can't even answer some of the most basic questions of life. You know, where'd I come from? Where'd all this stuff that's around me come from? How'd it happen? Why am I here? Why does this or that happen? Good things, bad things, all of the emotions of life, all of the uncertainties. People let us down. We let people down. People die. Things change. And we can if we focus on things like this, we'll be caught up in a continual state of unrest. And we ask ourselves, is this all there is? And Scripture even addresses this in the negative fashion. If this is all there is, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 19 says, if we've trusted in Christ and hoped in Christ in this life only, we're of all men to be pitied. So is there something greater than us? Something that will last? Something that stays the same? Something I can count on? God in His Word says yes. And that something greater is He Himself. There's many passages we could look at, but I chose to go to the book of Job, chapter 36, verse 26. It says there, "Behold, God is great, and we know Him not. The number of His years is unsearchable." And then we know how later in the trials and things Job was going through, he began to question God. And God answers him in chapters 38 through 40. The Lord answers Job. And this had to be, even reading it, much less hearing this answer, even reading it can strike some awe into you. But we won't read the entirety of the chapter. But again, I'd also encourage you to read chapters 38 through about 42 in the book of Job. But we'll look. As chapter 38 begins, "The Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, 'Who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Dress for action like a man, and I will question you, and you make it known to me. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who determined its measurement? Surely you know. Or who stretches the line upon it? On what were its bases sunk? Or who laid its cornerstone? When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy? Or who shut in the seas with doors when it burst out from the womb? When I made clouds its garment and thick darkness its swaddling band, and prescribed limits for it and set bars and doors and said, thus far shall you come and no farther, and here shall your proud waves be stayed. Have you commanded the morning since your days begin, and caused the dawn to know its place, that it might take hold of the skirts of the earth and the wicked be shaken out of it?" And he continues on through chapter 39. Job chapter 40, verse 1, Job responds. And the Lord said to Job, "Shall a fault finder contend with the Almighty? He who argues with God, let him answer it." Then Job answered the Lord and said, "Behold, I am of small account. What shall I answer you? I lay my hand on my mouth. I have spoken once, and I will not answer twice, but I will proceed no further." And I can hear Job saying, "God, I got it. I got it. God's not through." He continues on through chapter 41. And then in chapter 42, Job gives another answer. Then Job answered the Lord and said, "I know that you can do all things and that no purposes of yours can be thwarted. Who is this that hides counsel without knowledge? Therefore I have uttered what I did not understand, things too wonderful for me which I did not know. Hear and I will speak, I will question you and you make it known to me. I had heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eyes see you. Therefore I despise myself and repent in dust and ashes." And you know, this is exactly the realization that we must all come to. Who God is, and pardon my English, I guess it's in the word, it's in the dictionary now, but who God is and who we ain't. That's the realization that we all have to come to. Other things we can count on. God's Word will last. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 24. "All flesh is like grass, and all glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And this is the word that was preached to you." Same word that we preach to men today. And all throughout the Old Testament, especially in Psalms, we have the repeated phrase, His steadfast love endures forever. And there are other attributes that make up part of, that's part of God's makeup that are also confirmed and things that will last forever, such as His faithfulness, His righteousness, His name. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 14 says, I perceive that whatever God does endures forever. Nothing can be added to it. Nothing can be taken from it. God has done it so that the people fear before Him. And then there's a promise made to Joshua in chapter 1, verse 5, and it's repeated in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. Joshua chapter 1, verse 5, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so will I be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. And again, that's repeated in the New Testament for you and I. Now, early in our thoughts here, we describe the person with physical health needs as being alive today, but they need to address their needs so they can continue living. Spiritually speaking, those who have not turned themselves over to Jesus and been buried with Him in baptism, which is the likeness of His death, and have not contacted His life-giving blood, right now, you are dead. And you need to be made alive. You need to be born again. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. And you He did make alive when you were dead through your trespasses and sins. In the last few moments here, I'd just like to try to draw some comparisons to, again, the CrossFit program and our spiritual walk. And I'm going to, you know, I guess I'm biased here. Our youngest son-in-law actually owns one of these facilities in Trustville, CrossFit Trustville as it's called. And so I spent close to 2 years over there. It's obvious now I'm not spending a whole lot of time there. But spent close to 2 years there, and I could be a poster child at one point for an endorsement that program works. I can't speak for the facilities here. I know Corey goes to one. There's two here in Gardendale, and, Corey looks pretty fit. He might be in that 1%. So I think it works. But I'll try to describe to you and hopefully make some spiritual applications here of what I'm just going to call the CrossFit Trustful experience, if you'll let me call it that. Once you've established your desire to make a change physically, and you know the first day you show up at the gym there, you're going to go through a fundamentals class. That could last a week, might last longer if you're a slow learner. But you'll receive proper instruction there as to how to perform the various lifts and exercises involved in the daily workout. And, you know, I thought the first day we showed up, all right, we're going to go grab a barbell. You know, I've never had any formal training. You know, we didn't do a whole lot of that in high school back in the dark ages. We lifted weights, but wasn't quite organized. So I'm thinking, okay, we're going to go out here and grab some weights. First day we show up, Andrew gives us PVC pipe. Yeah. And so no weights, of course, anything, you know, just a 3/4-inch piece of PVC pipe about this long. And we proceed to go through, the various lifts and things and how you would do that type of stuff, again, with no resistance. And the goal of that was to ensure that we, went through the motions properly, where we would focus on the right muscle group and that we wouldn't get hurt, which is probably more important for old people. And this is viewed there, anyway, as such a key part of the program that the owner himself normally conducts these classes personally to ensure you get started off on the right fashion. You know, spiritually speaking, when a person responds to the gospel call, the good news, all they may know, all they have to know, is that they're lost, they're dead in their sins, and that the answer to their condition was and is the cleansing blood of Jesus Christ. They've been made alive, born again, And in baptism, they've put on Christ. Galatians 3, verse 27 tells us that for many of us has been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. And you know, this may be all that they know. So spiritually speaking, they're a newborn baby. Although when we look at them, they may be 15, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80 years old. We can't forget this fact. They're infants. And we should treat them with the same care and concern that we have for our physical babies. In Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12 and 13. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk and not solid food. For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness since he is a child. Now, you know, the context of this passage here is actually a condemnation of those who have not grown spiritually as they should have. But it establishes the fact that there are some fundamental, basic principles that should be taught to the newborn in the Lord. And we need to keep this principle in mind when we deal with one another. Realize where the individual that you're dealing with is on the growth chart and handle them accordingly. You don't want to be responsible for putting the flame that the blood of Christ has kindled in someone. You don't want to be responsible for putting that flame out by a careless word, an unloving word, or one you didn't think about. Again, consider where someone is on the growth chart and feed them accordingly. We would never leave a newborn infant alone. And we read that all the time and see that in the news. You know, in many cases, that's criminal. So it should be with the young in the Lord. Satan's prowling around, and they'll not stand a chance if they're left alone. Babies know four things: eat, sleep, to put it nicely, make a mess, and repeat that. That's what they know how to do. Our job is to feed them, to keep them safe, and to clean them up when they make a mess repeatedly. In love. Now, secondly, at the gym, when the coach thinks you're ready to get out and join the group in the daily workouts, you get introduced into the, you know, the general population, so to speak. And you'll go to a particular class, anywhere, you know, 10 to 15, 20 people may be in the class. Again, I'm speaking for my experience. I hope it's positive, maybe where some of the rest of you have been. You will find, if you go to CrossFit Trustful, you will find a very positive atmosphere, a very encouraging atmosphere, a very respectful atmosphere. There's a sense of togetherness there that you can feel. And whatever level you're at, you get the opportunity to compete. And you get the opportunity to represent that group of people. And they're proud and happy to have you as a member there. And once again, you're never left alone. The coach is there all the time to instruct you, to encourage you, and to correct you if need be during your workout. Is this the atmosphere we try to create here at North Gardendale? It should be. Because we all have a common quest, and that's heaven. And we all have a common adversary or opponent, and that's Satan. We should be doing all we can here as a group to reach that common goal of heaven and to fight together against Satan. If you're here for any other reason than that, you're working against us. Two things that should keep us all humble and thankful as we work together. And we should keep both of these in the forefront of our minds so we can work together in the proper atmosphere. Number one is that we're all sinners, plain and simple. There are no degrees of sin inside of God. In this life, there may be varying degrees of consequences for your actions, But sin separates you from God, period. Number two, thanks be to God that we're all made in His image. Like Him. We've been created by Him to have an eternal existence. Our soul will spend an eternity somewhere. And God's desire is that it be with Him. Final instructions that Paul gave to the Thessalonians at the end of in the first book, in chapter 5. We ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you and who are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace among yourselves. And we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with them all. See that no one repays anyone evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to everyone. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies, but test everything. Hold fast to what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Now may the God of peace Himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. What about a typical workout? Okay, what happens? At Trustful, they start off by what they call the buy-in. And this is a series of stretching, running, lifting, gymnastics, something like that, that will normally mirror or use the same group of muscles that you're going to be focusing on in the main portion of your workout. How could we do this spiritually? Maybe we start off with a prayer. Then maybe some Bible basics. Memorization. Books of the Bible. Old Testament, New Testament. Days of creation. What happened on each day. The sons of Jacob that became the leaders of the tribes. The judges, the kings, Ten Commandments, the plagues that came upon Egypt. The different ways God speaks to His people. Then and now. The apostles, the miracles that Jesus performed. And then we repeat, repeat, repeat. These are just basics. Now the actual workout itself is going to involve specific movements for a specific period of time frame with very, very high intensity. It's kind of a short, normally 15 minutes, but it's designed to really get your motor running, okay? You know, intensity means extreme degree of force, strength, or energy. In simple terms, give it all you got till the coach blows a whistle. You know, that's the idea. And again, everybody will be working together on the same type of activity with the same degree of intensity with varying degrees of resistance based on our present abilities. And those that finish ahead of others, and there have been many classes, I was the last one to finish, they don't go on and get in their cars and go home. They stay around and encourage others until everyone finishes. We need to spend this kind of time exercising in God's Word. Don't just see how many pages you can read. Pour yourself into the Word. Let it challenge you. Lay your present self down alongside the Word and compare yourself to the Word so you'll have a clear picture of what you need to change. And dive deep into the meaning of certain key words to help increase your understanding. Study the Word together. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 14 tells us that those that can lift the heavy weights, those that can handle solid food, are those that are mature, those that are grown up, those who through practice or exercise have trained themselves to know the difference between good and evil. Hebrews chapter 11 describes to us a great group of people. Some of them are named, those that were faithful, trusted in God and were faithful, and because of that they were rewarded. Others are not called by name, but they're mentioned there as to having given up their lives due to their faithfulness to God. We come into the New Testament. We know there are many characters in the New Testament that suffered the same fate. We have brothers and sisters that are no longer with us here that passed on, that died faithful in the Lord. And we move into chapter 12, and this should be so encouraging to us. You know, we're still here in the game. We're still here competing. And all these people that have finished ahead of us, they're in the stands, so to speak. And they're cheering us on, and they're encouraging us on. And when they see us fall, it's as if they tell us, hey, get up, I'm here. They want us to be where they're at. They finished the race, and their desire for us is to do the same. And at the end of every workout, you're supposed to post your daily results, knowing that in time you'll come back to this same exercise, and this allows you to measure things and see where you're at, see how you've progressed. Hopefully it's been positive, that you can try to reach a new level. There's a saying, you know, you can't measure what you can't manage. And so you got to have some data there to look at. Same thing spiritually. See where you're at. Write it down. Keep working on it. Come back to it. See how you've progressed. And we have to have, like the song we sing, I have a passion for my God. We have to have a daily passion. As we close here, I'll give you a few warnings. You go to the physical gym, you'll be doing things you've never done or have not done in a long time. You'll be using muscles that you didn't even know you had. They described some things that I'm pretty sure in 1962, when they handed out the parts that they made me from, you know, they called all these muscle groups. I don't think they had them in 1962, but they, you know, they said that's what I'm supposed to be using. It will hurt for a while. Tommy's done some of this. We've laughed together a little bit, especially for an older guy or a bigger guy. Do some full squats with some weight, and you won't be able to get out of bed about the third day. It hurts, but it gets better. There's a temptation to quit, but don't do that. Give it about a month. And in time, you will do just as the Nike slogan says, you'll just do it. So it is with God's Word. It'll hurt at first because you're doing things you've never done or you haven't done in a long time. You'll be challenged to conform yourself to the Word and transform your mindset and your heart to things beyond this life. There'll be a temptation to quit. But before you know it, if you don't quit, again, you'll just do it, and you'll feel good about it. And you won't be able to imagine yourself not spending time in God's Word and with those that have heaven as their goal. Secondly, realize that failure is a real possibility from time to time. Even the strongest fail. At CrossFit Trustful, that would be the owner, Andrew, and a few select groups over there. I have seen him fail. But when he's failed, he's on his knees, gasping for air. He's spent. He's done all he could do. Spiritually speaking, failure is also a real possibility. Yet when we fail, we should be in the same position, on our knees, hard to breathe. Yet we should be looking backwards, tracing our steps and identifying where we made a choice to turn away from God's faithful promise and learn from it. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13 tells us that no temptation has overtaken us that's not common to man. God's faithful, and He will not let you be tempted above your ability, but with the temptation, He will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. And finally, you have to carry the mindset of being different home with you from the gym and let it affect other areas of your daily routine. Diet, for example. It's a fair and accurate statement that you cannot out-exercise a bad diet. just won't happen. Same is true here. We have got to be alive and active beyond the doors of this building. We have to have a steady diet of God's Word and good associations with one another. One of the sayings on the CrossFit Trustful advertisements is, real people, unreal results. And I can state for a fact that you will get results, positive results. But in reality, working out physically, real people get real results. On the other hand, everything that we do spiritually speaking yields unreal results, things that are only possible because of the great love that our Creator has for us. Luke chapter 18, verse 27, the passage says there, when the Lord was being questioned about certain things, made the statement, what is impossible with man is possible with God. In the passage Chuck referred to this morning, Philippians chapter 4, 13, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Now, as we're closing off the invitation, you know, I couldn't let Chuck do something this morning. I had to one-up him here, so I'm selling T-shirts. No, not selling T-shirts, but this is Tammy's bag. She let me borrow, but I wanted to show y'all some stuff. This is a CrossFit Trustful T-shirt. Pretty nice logo, I think. This is a CrossFit Trustful T-shirt. This is a CrossFit Trustful T-shirt. Wow. This is a CrossFit Trustful T-shirt. This is a CrossFit Trustful T-shirt. Closet got cleaned out. This is a CrossFit Trustful T-shirt. Now, this one might be of some value. This is my original CrossFit Trustful T-shirt. It says, let's lift heavy things on the back. I actually, believe it or not, competed in 3 competitions in this shirt and did not finish last. So that might be valuable. I have a nice pair of CrossFit Trustful sweatpants. Tammy had to cut hers off. Legs are too short. I have, sorry about that, Chris. CrossFit Trustful getting too heavy here. Nice matching CrossFit Trustful jacket here. And then finally, a nice CrossFit Trustful hoodie. You know, I don't wear those too much. Wear them to the gym if I ever go over there. But I don't wear them too much. Because, and this is of no consequence other than maybe physical health, I'm not a member in good standing at CrossFit Trustful. I'm on the roll over there. You can probably go over there. You go to the 7 o'clock class over there still tonight. Everybody knows my name. Everybody knows Tammy's name. They're glad to see us. I think we add something to the equation. But one of these shirts in particular, I don't think I'll ever be able to wear it, even if I go back to the gym. This one right here. That does not fit me good from this profile. It just, something about, it's too clingy, and it clings in the wrong places. I don't look right in that. I don't represent CrossFit Trustful well. Again, that's just a gem, though. Terry? How about this one? Are you CrossFit? Can you wear this shirt? We all should be able to wear this shirt. You know, I wonder from time to time, I know people should be able to see things within us. But I wonder from time to time why we don't wear stuff like this. You know, we wear an Alabama shirt. Some of you wear an Auburn shirt. You know, we wear a Gardendale shirt. What am I saying? Am I bragging? Is anything wrong with me wearing this shirt? Can I wear this shirt, though? Again, this is of no consequence. Big deal. I'm not going to the gym 5 days a week. What about this? Where are you? If you're subject to the call of invitation tonight, whether you need to put the Lord on in baptism, or if you've put him on and, again, you're not in good standing, we invite you to come forward as we stand and as we sing.